Welcome to Agents of Smooch. After years of watching movies on tiny, tiny screens, I am super excited that we got to watch an action comedy romance in an actual theater with the cushy seats that lean back and movie popcorn. And like, we ordered a lot of snacks because I was there with Kirsten.
So many snacks.
Yeah, we like snacks.
All the snacks.
We're snackers.
Yes. Yes. Snacks. But that's like the whole point of the movie theater, isn't it?
It's true.
Oh,
it's
yeah, true. Absolutely. Not in like the movie, but snacks.
Yeah.
First.
Yeah. I also have a theory like now, and I forgot to do this because I'm so out of practice, is like bring a blanket. Mm. And so you like lean back.
A blanket would have been nice.
They sold them there.
They sell them, but I'm too cheap to buy a blanket.
Yeah, why would, when you have 800 at home?
Exactly. So you pack one in your bag and you bring it with you. And then not only do you have like the good snacks and those comfy chairs, you have a blanket.
And Annette and I learned premium seating now comes with heated seats.
Oh, yeah.
Which was something we had not realized because I was too cheap to pay. I was like, what is this premium seat nonsense?
Yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah. I didn't pack a blanket, but I did pack snacks because we always swing by the grocery store and fill up my purse full of
snacks. I know,
because
the snacks are more, we spent more on snacks than we did on the tickets, which is super typical.
Mm-hmm. We sure did.
But, you know, it'd been like 2.5, I think we went to the last movie we went together was Emma in the pre-pandemic times.
Wow.
I don't know if I was there with you guys. I think maybe you wasn't. Weren't. I think I was just on medical leave or about to be put on medical leave then. But that's okay, because when I did watch Emma, I hated it. So I didn't spend money to watch it. That's for another podcast, though.
We did a podcast about it, and everyone really loved it. And I was very middling on it. But I just... That's cool. If people love it, I am very happy for them.
Yeah, it can be their Emma. That's fine. That's cool
exactly.
With me.
The costumes were stupendous, though.
Oh, stunning.
We are not here to talk about Emma. We will eventually get around to talking about what we're here to talk about. That action comedy romance, The Lost City, with Sandra Bullock, Tatum Channing, Daniel Radcliffe. Channing Tatum, and Daniel Radcliffe. I am director Annette Weirstra. And I am joined by two intrepid agents, who've already been talking. Hello, Kirsten.
Hello. I'm so thrilled to be here. Hashtag Shawn Mendes.
Also, Agent Kathy Campbell. Hello.
Hello, director and Agent Kirsten. Even though I wasn't in the theater with you to see this, we were together in my heart.
Yes, in
spirit. Only one. I only have one heart. Sorry. But I did.
You are the doctor.
Yes. I did get to go to the movie with my kid and my parents. We surprised my mom because my dad was like, hey, we're going to a movie tonight. You want to come? And I was like, sure. Don't tell mom. And so we got to surprise her, and that was really fun.
That's lovely. Adorable. Before we launch into our discussion, it is a membership drive month for The Incomparable. We are part of a very big network of many, many podcasts and many podcasters. And we have a membership drive, which I don't think we've done during the pandemic.
No, we have not. It's been more than 3 years, probably.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
We have lots of members supporting us, and we are very grateful to everyone who has been supporting us all the time. And we encourage you, if you're interested in supporting Agents of Smooch or any other Incomparable podcasts, you can sign up for a monthly or an annual pledge to support this podcast directly. So you can go to incomparable.com/members and sign up. And when you sign up, you get a choice to support all of our podcasts, and you can pick Agents of Smooch and any other of the podcasts. Just a little click, 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 and support all of the podcasts that you listen to. And your contribution comes to us after a few general fees are taken out to run the whole network. It's very helpful for us, and we are grateful for support. but we also give you some fun extras. We're really good at extras, I think.
Yeah, our extras are the best.
All the podcasts are working on more extras right now, but we keep doing our incomprehensible agents of smooch.
Whether you want them or not, we're going
to keep doing them. We did a new one for Kathy's birthday a little while ago that we are dropping this month about Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which was very fun.
So fun.
We recorded a sleepover draft and talked about all the movies we like to watch during sleepovers. Yeah, that was, it went on very long. So it's a very long and comprehensive draft of movies. You also get bootlegs of live recordings of shows. You get bonus episodes. You get ad-free versions of the Mothership podcast episodes, which are fun. And you can contribute for $5, $10, or $20 per month. And if you are a member, you can increase your pledge and get some extra special goodies in return, including some free incomparable swag. And so, yeah, if you want to support us, you go to theincomparable.com/members to sign up. And if you are able to support us, we really appreciate it. And if you aren't able to support us, we're just glad you're listening. So thank you.
You get access to a Slack channel too, right?
Yes. Yeah. We have a Slack channel that we spend like way too much time talking to.
Clearly I'm on there a lot if I can't even remember. Yeah. I mean, I'm on there all the time.
I like our Smooch Flicks channel, which is us and like all the romance stuff we talk about. Also the Crafty channel where we talk about things we make. Those are my two favorite channels.
I enjoy them all, but I really enjoy the photos channel too, not just to showcase my own photography, but also other people are doing some really incredible work.
I just want you to know I had no idea there was a photos channel, and now I need to go find it.
There's
so many channels.
There's so many channels.
Why didn't you tell me about that, Kathy?
I'm sorry. I figured you knew.
I did not.
You can, like, there's so many... so freaking many channels and incredible people. Come and hang out with us. You can also, when we have live shows, you can also suggest titles and all sorts of fun things. So definitely become a member. Hang out with some of the best people on the internet.
That's us.
Yes, for the record, that's us.
Clearly.
But now we get to talk about The Lost City, a movie I was waiting for a really long time, and then I forgot about it, and then because you know that happens, and then it came out and was just like, oh, this is the movie I'm actually going to go out to see in the theater. It starts with romance writer Loretta Sage, played by Sandra Bullock, at a romance conference promoting her book with her handsome cover model Alan, who takes on his alter ego Dash, and this is Channing Tatum.
Good job.
Yes, I'm like, well, can I say this correctly this time?
We'll just call him Alan.
Loretta is a widow who has lost her zen for romance writing after her husband died, but instead of fading away, she is kidnapped by billionaire Alistair Fairfax, who thinks she can help him find a lost treasure. With Alan rushing to save her, Loretta is swept up in an adventure that she only wrote about before. I'm really curious to know. Well, let's start with Kathy. What did you think about this movie?
All right. Well, first off, I also had forgotten about it. I vaguely remember seeing some sort of trailer with.
We posted about it in the Slack channel because
that must have been it.
This looks amazing. And then I forgot about it.
Exactly. And so I had even forgotten that this is what it was when my dad was like, this is the movie we're going to watch. And I was like, cool. Okay, whatever. We'll go. Hey, child of mine, you want to come to a movie? We're going to surprise Nana. Great. Perfect. Checked the rating. That was it. And we showed up. And I am so glad that I saw this on a big screen.
Mm-hmm.
And with people mm-hmm. that I love. But holy cow, was it just fun. It gave me major like Mummy vibes of like the sheer joy of the film, like beautiful people, beautiful scenery, like the writing was great, all of the characters were fun. It didn't take itself too seriously but still had some great like moments and points of like reality hitting without, you know, being, I'm a very serious film. Like I came out of it.
I have no time for those movies right now.
No, no, I don't. We got enough of that in real life.
Yeah.
And it was just so much fun. Just so much fun. And I feel like everyone on the set had fun. I don't know how accurate that actually is, but in my head, they all had just the best time. And I am here for it. I think everybody should watch it.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Kirsten.
So I don't remember when I saw the trailer, but I do very vividly remember when they released the first few press photos for the movie and they were trying to garner up some buzz. And I just remember seeing Sandra Bullock in her hot pink sequins wading through what looked like the Amazon. And yes. I was like, this is the movie for me. I am sold. I will give you all the money. And I was right. It was great. And I remember, Annette, when we were in the theater, they had sort of pre-show interviews.
Yep.
And they were talking about how they wanted, first of all, to put Sandra, her character, in like the worst thing you could ever want to wear in a jungle. They're like, let's put her in that. And that hot pink sequin onesie just kind of became its own character. And I was very attached to it. And so yes. much of the costume details were perfect. You know, Annette and I talked about the broken heel shoes that were still, like, she was walking on them and it was uncomfortable because they really were broken heel shoes. They weren't just flats. They swapped in for her. And, you know, the little details, like Channing wandering around the island with his, like, neck pillow still on when he lands and he's talking to Brad Pitt's character. Like, I just felt like there were so many little gems in this that just made it that much better. And for me, like, there's just something about Daniel Radcliffe as a maniacal rich jerk
that
always works for me. Yeah. Like, that intro scene where he has, like, the giant charcuterie boards and
the
false wall lifts up and blows it all away. Like, it doesn't even matter.
Oh, it was so good.
It was just, just so over the top in the best way.
Yes. Kirsten, how many times did I say to you, Romancing the Stone, while we were watching this movie?
We should have made a drinking game out of it. We really should have.
Because I was like, Romancing the Stone. Like, even the shoe scene, I was like so excited because we did an episode about Romancing the Stone during our first COVID summer. And one of my beefs that we complained about during that episode is, like, they break the heel off and then she's clearly in flats the rest of the movie. And that is not how heels move. So when they broke the heel off and she's walking around in shoes with a broken heel that's all off kilter and she chucks them away. And then Alan has boots for her, which is the cutest thing. They're like terrible boots for the jungle.
Yeah. Her hiking boots that are like not hiking boots.
That so delighted sweet. Me. Kathy, have you seen Romancing the Stone?
So it's so funny because I was like, I don't remember if I've seen Romancing the Stone. And then like a week later in my memories, I discovered that I had started watching Romancing the Stone over at my aunt and uncle's house like 6 years ago. It was the VHS copy and the VHS died. So I've seen the first half of Romancing the Stone.
Because there are many beats that are the same. And I won't call it a remake because it's not a remake, but it's like almost an ode. But it's sillier. I think this movie is sillier than Romancing the Stone.
Yeah, because isn't the big... I haven't seen it, but I heard that the big difference is that... So Alan / Dash, his character is quite funny. You know, not at all prepared to be in a jungle. Whereas the lead in Romancing the Stone is like a badass.
Well, the lead in Romancing the Stone is sort of Brad.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, if they kind of split the characters. So you had the Brad Pitt and the Channing Tatum version, which is hilarious. I didn't know Brad was in. And when we heard the voice over the phone, I was like, holy cow, that's Brad Pitt. And then he shows up and he's there. And I was like, oh, my goodness. I was not expecting that at all. And are we in spoilers? I'm guessing we could talk
spoilers.
Yeah,
I think we can spoil
it. I think we've kind of, like,
go for just it. Just blow the horn, guys. Spoilers.
Did you stick around for the post-credit scene?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I about fell out of my chair when that came up. And I was like, did they? They did. Holy, what? And then he's like, you know, peeking out through the eyes to look at both the characters while they're, you know, doing their Zen yoga stuff. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is so, like, this is the type of movie that I love. Knives Out was very similar, where, you know, they have this joy and this effortless, that, you know, a lot of effort went into it. Like, just excitement to be here, excitement and happiness to be making a movie. I am imagining that the director, like, let the actors, you know, ad-lib and, like, vibe together in a way that you can feel through the screen. Especially all of the actors are incredible. And Sandra Bullock is one of the best and less, like, acclaimed, like, physical actor in the world. Like, she is incredible with the physical comedy in a way that we haven't seen since, like, Lucille Ball. Like, it's just, the whole time I'm watching it, I'm just like, oh my gosh, this little moment, you know, stepping, you know, sitting in a chair.
I was going to bring up the same thing. I was like, when she's trying to sit on that stool.
Just sitting on the stool. And it was so funny. And there's no way that couldn't have been written in the script. Like, I'm sure that that was like Sandra going, oh my gosh, I'm wearing this weird sequin thing. How am I going to get on the stool? Let's make this the funniest thing we can. And just nailed it. And I love those types of movies. And this is just incredible.
Yeah, I had a lot of notes about her physical comedy written down, you know. The part where they don't have the time to, like, take off the zip ties from the chair when they rescue her. So they stuff her in the chair in the wheelbarrow.
Yes!
And they're running with the wheelbarrow.
And they're running in slow motion as the explosion goes
And Channing Tatum's just holding the one, it's Brad's bullet doing the whole thing.
Like, I knew Brad was in it, but I didn't know, like, I was like, I wasn't sure when they were going to plunk him in. You knew he wasn't going to be around for long, so when they brought him in right away, I was like, oh dear, something terrible is going to befall our friend Brad.
I love how, like, he is everything that Dash should be and Alan wants to be, to the hair, like, has Brad, got these long flowing blonde locks that he flings expertly.
Oh, so beautifully.
So good. And and he's everything that Alan just wants to be. And he knows he needs the help to rescue Loretta, but at the same time, he wants to embody that, but cannot. And it's just such a great tension between them.
Shh, you're safe now.
Yeah.
Yes. And the comedy and the tension and everything about that is so funny. And then with the spoilers, when they just take Brad out so fast.
Just like, oh my gosh.
Oh, so fast, and it's with brilliant.
Channing Tatum and, like, driving the car afterwards, where he's like, it's in my mouth. It tastes his brain.
And the like, moment where he's like, stops the car in the thing and it swings through and he's like, ooh, that was safe. And then you don't see Sandra Bullock in the back of the car and you're like, oh shit. And then it's like, she's fine because she fell out a long time ago.
Because the door was only partially closed because she's in a chair in a tiny car.
Because she couldn't fit and they didn't break. Yeah, it was, oh my gosh, the whole thing.
Yeah, and the scene where they're climbing up the mountain.
Oh, yeah. The head support.
Mm-hmm. Right up her butt. Yeah.
Yep.
Just give her a little nudge.
Yeah.
But there's also that really sweet moment between them there, too, that they kind of echo back in, right? That, like, take a breath. You can do this, right? Like, I feel, I don't know about you guys, but for me, personally, I didn't feel a ton of chemistry between Sandra and Channing, but because it was so heartfelt and because it was so funny and they both sort of shone in their own way, I was willing to forgive that. But there were brief moments, like, on the mountain when she was climbing through that hole or when they were dancing. Oh, the dancing got me.
Mm-hmm. I think it was a more realistic type of chemistry. It wasn't the immediately, oh my gosh, they're, you know, lighting each other on fire with their eyes, but it was the progressive, I hate this man because he's always here and he's such a himbo, to, oh, okay, we're going to hang out together. We're spending all this time. We're going through these really traumatic things, and the interactions with each other, you know, grows and changes. And then by the end, I still don't see them as, you know, the rip each other's clothes off type of a relationship, but that really deep, I will build you this monument and wrap myself around you and, you know, die next to your body type of a love, type of a feeling for each other. Obviously, like, that's the acting part, but I felt that type of a chemistry between them in a really respectful type of, these are two really great actors and they came together to play these characters, but I'm not worried that they're going to go off and have an affair with each other, but they're going to respect the characters and have this type of a deep friendship for each other that you develop with a really great co-actor, mm-hmm. co-star.
Yeah, the friendship was lovely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
I love how he, like, his character as Dash, you have Loretta, who is, like, has struggling so much with her art, and then you have Dash, who sort of, like, takes over her art and becomes, like, the public face of it, where she wants to, like, hide in the background and not show up these cons. And, like, it's shown from that moment when she's struggling to sit on the stool, and then he walks out with his wig and the long hair and, like, the music and everything, yeah. and the lights, and, you know, she sort of slinks onto screaming stage and fans. He, like, demands attention, and everyone's just like, Dash, and, you know, everything, you know, it's just so great. And she hates it and kind of hates him, not kind of, she hates him for it. And yet, yeah, it's just so funny to see that evolution of their relationship too, and sort of him revealing why, like, how he ended up in that position and how he sort of accepted it. And one of my favorite things is when she calls her own work schlock. And it's, yeah. like this meta, yeah. as well as in-story defense of romance. And that, like, honoring her fans and the people who like romance. And you should not call your work schlock because it's romance. It's important and people love it and value it.
Yeah. And I think mm-hmm. I think there's a level of grief in this, too, because mm-hmm. she still is in mourning for her husband who, like, she built her career at the same time that he was, you know, doing his. And so I can only imagine how difficult it would be to work on this art that you created with your husband next, like, connected. You know, the reason that all of the books kind of have this, like, exploring, you know, Indiana Jones vibe to it is because of the work that her husband did. And so having to create this, like, continue with your job with something that's so deeply connected to your spouse who is no longer with you, I can only imagine, like, that journey. And when you come from this world where, you know, you are living with somebody who writes, you know, academic papers that are seen as important books. And I'm sure that her husband would, you know, make these comments like, oh, yeah, it's just romance novels. Like, oh, they get home from a signing. Ha ha ha. That was so fun. Like, mm-hmm. this lighthearted aspect of the books that she's writing. So then when she no longer has the support of her husband to, like, diffuse that, there's got to be some rage. There's got to be some anger about the stupid thing that she has to keep doing because she, you know, is obligated to finish this book. So, of course, she's going to kill the main character. Like, mm-hmm. and then you don't have to write them anymore mm-hmm. and you can go yeah. off and do other things. And
She had a degree too, didn't she? Like, she was, like, trained in the same field.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then, you know, so she, I think, like, her important work was also, like, the work she did with her husband together.
Yeah.
But then the work that's, like, making her money and the obligation she has is the work she views as, like, the side gig and unimportant.
Right.
Yeah.
Because she has that academic aspect herself, but here's, you know, oh, okay, it's paying the bills, so we can afford to, you know, run off around the world to explore whatever.
When she put in real archaeological, like, symbols and things into her books, it's how Daniel Radcliffe's character found her and thought she could help. It's because she was using real life historical information in her novels, right?
Yeah, because I think she also said that, like, she had written other, like, types of books.
Yeah, like, I think more archaeological. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's no wonder you come from this world that, oh, nobody, the only thing that people know you for is your quote-unquote fluff, your schlock, whatever. And then that is what gets you kidnapped.
Yeah.
Lots of it. And you can see from the very beginning too that she doesn't want to go on stage. She doesn't want to, you know, go do the signing. She doesn't want to meet her fans. She doesn't want any of this because it's junk.
Yeah. And I wonder, like, I know there's this really great scene where Channing Tatum's character is, like, talking to, he chases her all through the convention and then she disappears and gets kidnapped, and just before that happens, he kind of throws some real life stuff at her, you know, about how she's, like, stopped living and she's afraid to get outside of her house, like, you know, all this stuff, which is hard to hear from anybody, especially from someone you don't like, of course, and don't take seriously.
Right.
But then he's talking to one of the chefs and he's like, well, I said all these mean things and I just want to take him back. I'm like, they weren't mean, but they were honest. And she just wasn't ready to hear them. And so I do like that development between the two of them, how they sort of bring out that there's a realness there, right?
Yeah.
And there's a bit of a vulnerability too, right? Like, he talks about, like, his physical appearance and how he struggles and how he's viewed. And, you know, there's the hilarious scene with the leeches, but then there's also that really lovely softer scene with the lotion and the face masks.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Right?
Which, like, was so sweet, but, like, still hysterical because she's putting, like, face masks on his back.
Yes, and his backpack. Like, I think he loves her from the, like, the get-go. And he knows, like, in some ways she's just not ready for that yet. But he has, like, that backpack full of, like, her favorite snacks and those extra shoes and all that stuff. And he's, like, thinking about her. Yeah, and that's, I think that's where why they have the masks, because he's just going to take care of her. And it's just like,
right,
I love you so much.
Yeah.
There's a lot of movies that, you know, the romance movies where you're like, okay, after the movie's done, this relationship is going to last 3 years. Like, maybe. Maybe seven if you're like, really pushing it.
Pushing it.
If you're really pushing it. But I think this relationship between the two of them, I could see being one of the ones that lasts forever. Type of a cheesy action, like, reaction, but the friendship that they have after she's so against him and everything that he stands for, and the ability that he has to be realistic with her and talk to her in a way that, even though she's not ready for, when she is ready for it, hits her the way that it needs to. I think that's really special. And the trust. And also, when you go through a traumatic incident like that, you're going to bond.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Well, and both Channing and Brad's characters are so soft while being so masculine, which, you know.
Yeah, hello, female gaze.
Exactly. This is what we want. We want, like, hot, sexy guy who can push me around in a wheelbarrow.
And drives a small car.
Exactly. Which, by the way, Romancing in the Stone callback.
Nice. I think also there's something to be said about the fact that at no time in this movie did Sandra Bullock get into, you know, a bra and underwear.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's, like, true.
Yeah.
It would have been so easy you know, like in the scene where they use the sequin jumpsuit to, you know, distract the motorcycle people and may or may not have killed them.
It's hard to say. We can't lay blame. It was unintentional.
They might have fallen off the cliff themselves. You know,
they were chasing each other and they got confused.
Yep, exactly.
Were murderers. It was self-defense. I feel no bad about it.
It's true. But they feel bad. But it would have been so easy for them to have completely taken her clothes off. Like, they didn't have to just pull the arms and legs. Like, it would have been an easy, gratuitous moment. And instead, you have the male lead getting naked. And a very nice view. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, really... I was going to say tasteful, but it really wasn't tasteful at all. But it was respectful, I think.
That's a good word.
Yeah. But then you temper it with, at the same time, she's removing leeches and you can't really relax.
Right.
At all. So you're like, you know,
you're like cringing. You only have one eye open. So you're like, oh, he does have a nice six pack. Ooh.
Yes. So it's like you can't fully enjoy it because you're like really grossed out. But maybe other people aren't. Leeches freak me out. I've had leeches on me and have had to have people pull them off me, and I don't like it.
That seems like a fair reaction.
Yeah.
I have no experience and no desire.
Yep. My experience is reading it in books.
No. Mm. Not even Channing Tatum. I'm sorry. Yeah, but no. I don't even want to do that.
I think that the action adventure part of it, is also really good. So it's like it's a solid romance, but it's also a solid action comedy. You've got really three pieces at play.
Yeah.
Coordinating. You got the action, you've got the romance, and you've got the comedy. And I feel like it makes it one of those great date movies because you can bring a wide variety of people to a movie like this. And I think everyone would get something out of it. It's not just for women.
My sister brought her fiance and he loved it. They just saw it this past weekend and he was a huge fan. And I told them, I was like, go see this. I think even Liam will like it.
My dad really enjoyed it and he tends to fall asleep in movies a lot.
So does my dad.
With the snacks.
And then my 13-year-old kid really enjoyed it too. And they were unsure. They're very picky because they have such, you know, high quality taste in the films that they watch.
As all 13-year-olds do.
They much prefer, you know, scary movies, but I guess this one was okay. Ooh. But it was, we all had fun. And I knew my mom and I would like it because we have very similar tastes. High quality taste, we do. Mm-hmm. But the fact that all four of us really enjoyed this movie and came out of it just like really excited to talk about it and how much we enjoyed it, I thought was really, really special. And I feel like pretty much anyone could watch this movie and enjoy it. Maybe not a younger kid, but yeah.
Yeah, I definitely feel like there's something for everyone. I also enjoyed, I mean, this isn't romance specific, but the side plot with her agent trying to get to the island to rescue her was such a gem.
I loved her.
Like, those scenes on the plane with the goat and the guy who's, like, the random man who found her in the airport and offered to fly her. Like, stranger danger, but also really friggin' funny.
Right. And on the one hand, I'm like, it's always, like, frustrating to have the one black character be the funny sidekick, but she also was so good at what she was doing that it was really enjoyable. I loved her entire, like, I want a movie about her.
Mm-hmm. And her grandma, oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
I just remembered her grandmother.
Yes. Oh my gosh. It was, they managed to round her out a little bit more than in a traditional, you know, side character could be. And I really, any time her scene came up, like when they're when she arrives at the police station and she's just like, look, I'm exhausted. I'm going to be respectful. I understand that you're having a shitty day. I'm having a terrible day too. But hey, y'all, can you help me?
Yeah.
It was great.
It was really fun.
She's super capable as well in everything she does, and including being the balancing act between being the agent who has to kick your butt to get writing and being right. your supporter and cheerleader and friend, and being mm-hmm. like, you know, and then taking it to the point where, you know, I'm going to show up halfway across the world, even though she doesn't really have to.
Because her friend yeah. needs her. I also really love the intro scenes where you've got Sandra in her house and she's not leaving. And, you know, she's got timers set up to remind her to eat. And then she's listening to all the voicemails, and like, her agent just knows her so well. She's like, you're probably in the bath drinking Chardonnay with ice. And she's like, spits out the ice.
Yes, and she, I also love, I think she's the one, or was it the intern who figured out about, she has a GPS capable watch.
Oh, yeah.
Or was that Alan? Because it got caught in his wig.
Yeah, I think it was Alan.
That
yeah.
was also really great.
But it's like this great detail where, you know, how do you find her? It's like, oh, like she has her watch on her, so we can just track wherever she is around the world and just like move that whole part of the plot forward really quickly and get to the
yeah
the good part, because otherwise, you know,
yeah, what would else? They have done like
yeah like how would you years find ago. Her
yeah
someone would have had to like I don't know find some other way to
she would have had to leave a note that's like they've kidnapped me and they're taking me to so-and-so island,
or they'd have to do all sorts Sandra. Of puzzle figuring as to what Alistair's evil plans were.
Oh, Alistair.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So Daniel Radcliffe in this was incredible. He managed to bridge that balance between, you know, absolute insane billionaire who lives, you know, who has daddy issues and
little brother issues.
Mm-hmm. Issues. And someone who really, like, is wants to take care of his hostage. Like, not really, because he's still going to, you know, chloroform her and...
take her against her will.
But he's a good guy. He's a kidnapper, but he's really a good guy.
Right? He provided a ton of cheese.
Like, she just has to do what he wants.
Yes.
It's not, yeah. it's not like he's asking so much. He will feed her and... you know, zip tie her to a desk and let her work.
Right.
Also, Daniel Radcliffe looks like he's having so much fun with this.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really happy that he seems to be like fully like falling into his not falling because I'm sure it's all very cultivated and like his post Harry Potter world is thriving.
Oh, it's been so wonderful.
Yeah.
He has I'm guessing the ability to do whatever he wants. At such yeah, a young I age think so. That yeah. you can, you know, it just gives him the opportunity to really try a lot of different roles and pieces on. And he's done horror. He does comedy. He's done like so many different things.
He's been on Broadway. And yeah. he's going to be again, I heard. Like, I love it. I am always team Daniel.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just when you watch it, I feel like they were all having fun, but I think he was just having the most fun just being that villain.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear there was a clip of Sandra and him? They were doing an interview, and I guess he gave her kids a snack or something, and they didn't call him Daniel. They called him like Dan or Danny. And so she came home and they were like eating the snack, and she's like, where did you get that one? And they're like, oh, Dan gave it to us. And they're like, Dan who? Is he a stranger? You don't take food from strangers. They're like, Harry Potter gave it to us. And she was like, oh, you mean Daniel Rat? Okay, then that's okay.
Okay, cool. That cool. Is, just checking.
Cool. And I just thought that was so wholesome.
I also love stuff where they get to go to different countries and travel, as you all know, because I made you all do the whole travel series.
Yes.
This reminds me of, like, a lot of elements remind me of Elizabeth Peters, who was an actual archaeologist, an Egyptologist, by training, wrote academic scholarly books, also wrote a bazillion romance and mystery novels.
I've read some of them on your recommendation, have I not? Yes.
I think I make everyone do this. But she has a character called Jacqueline Kirby, who... She is a librarian turned romance writer, and she has a romance series set at a romance con. And so the opening scenes of this were so Jacqueline Kirby at the romance con, where she is just a little bit disdainful. But at the same time, her character, instead of resisting it, does it to the like 1000th degree and wears like the floofiest girliest outfits and everything. But there was a lot of pieces that just reminded me that. And then you shift into her other, because all of her heroines are very educated and then also are solving mysteries and falling in love, which is like, that's my favorite romance.
Delightful.
Mystery romance. Yes, so so good. Yeah, so I'm like, this is so shades of Elizabeth Peters and her life and books and stuff too, and it just makes me super happy.
Oh, so happy, just like this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like want to go watch it again right now, just talking about
it. I know
it.
I think this is when I'm gonna, like, well, maybe not buy it on DVD, but like when it is I think I'm going to purchase it as opposed to just stream it, so I can see any special features, because I want special features in this movie so bad.
There's got to be like a whole onesie section, I'm sure.
Oh my gosh, yes. The costume designer.
They should be selling that,
right?
Sparkly.
Oh, no, I don't want to wear it.
I don't want to wear it because it looks deeply uncomfortable.
But someone's going to cosplay it someplace.
Oh, I would wear like a scarf inspired by it.
There we go. Maybe boots inspired by it.
They should get on the merchandising. I'm interested.
You know what? We're all too tall to fit a onesie anyways.
Yeah.
It was already given her a wedgie, so.
Yeah, you would have to, like, custom order it. Like, you would not.
We'd have to have it on loan, and then, of course, it would be destroyed on a tropical island, and then we're in deep trouble.
I love a low-key joke like that.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that, oh, no, I gotta be careful. Well, first, like, it started with, you know, okay, you only have to wear it for an hour, it'll be fine. I'm like, ha-ha!
The joke's on you.
And I just love that. And then the low-key, it's on loan, we gotta return it, I can't ruin it. Like, that sort of, like, stacking, like, it's so funny. I love it. I love it so much.
So, so great.
Then she goes to the village and gets that red sort of blouse and lace. Oh, and that is, again, I'm sorry, it's a callback to Romancing the Stone, where she wears something like that, but it's white. I prefer the red. And they have a dancing scene as well. And that one's very similar to Romancing the Stone. But it just is like such a nice pause in the movie where they get to sort of connect. And It's a very lovely dance. I thought they...
Yeah.
Well, Channing Tatum, man, he has moves. Oh, they have been documented.
Yeah. Dance. You've seen Magic Mike and Step It Up, right?
Oh, multiple times. And both Magic Mikes.
Yes.
But it was like, you know, this really sexy sort of partner dance, which is always appreciated. You know, a man who can dance is very sexy.
Yeah. Because, like, you don't expect Alan to be that good at dancing, to be honest.
No. I also love that they named him Alan. It's just, it's such a bland, slightly old school, like, that is not what you'd expect a Channing Tatum to be named, right? Like, he's a Dash, he's not an Alan.
Yeah, I just do love that the fandom sort of embraces him, and like that whole beginning part where they're all paying more attention to him than to her is so believable, where it's like, you know, I have this book, it's not even like a movie or anything, and the author has been like so sidelined just by the cover model. And it just makes me laugh a lot. But so like the two of them coming to the end and being that sort of equal partnership, and her kind of, instead of wanting to kill Alan off, really is what she's saying.
Yeah,
they're like, you know, kind of finding herself back in touch with what she liked about romance writing and things like that. And I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and just finding herself again too, right? Like the whole grief, and you talked about that, Kathy, the grief that weaves through the entire movie and that big culmination at the end where they find the, is it a tomb, I guess? And it wasn't meant to be somewhere to be celebrated. It was meant for, you know, quiet reflection and grief, right? To mourn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, you know, for her to have that impact and hit her and take it all in was really powerful.
Well, and again, spoilers, we've been spoiling a lot, but the fact that the quote unquote treasure was not made out of gemstones, but was like the shell tribute.
The shells.
To her, and like the story behind it and everything about it, which is like utterly romantic and beautiful, and you know, who appreciates it but she does, and Daniel Radcliffe's character is just like, there's no gems. I'm conviction. Done. I'm out of here. Everything's exploding. You know, and she just has to take even that moment and like the final, everything's exploding and being destroyed. And she has to pause and sort of like have a quick moment of reflection because no one's ever going to see this again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was exciting though. Like even like the whole scene of them trying to get through there and like the balance of, like you say, you have the grief aspect of it, which is treated with respect. And then you mm-hmm. also have the action part of it, which is can get super silly with like people just like making a little joke and then falling off a cliff somewhere.
Right.
Yeah. And it at the same time, it still had enough tension in it to actually keep it exciting. It wasn't so silly that you didn't get kind of swept up with what it was going
on.
Yeah,
people were dying.
Yeah.
Bad people, but people were dying. Oh, I just thought of the hammock scene, too.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Where she's, like, trying to get out.
Oh, such a good example of her comedic talent.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And I think there was a really good balance in, like, foreshadowing and, like, setting up things. Like, you saw what's his name leave the crowbar in the
henchman who needed a job but didn't really agree with Daniel's mission.
Yeah, you saw him leave that there, and so you're like, ooh, and the scene where they're like, look, here's the water going out of the pool in the edge of the cave, so you know that's going to be important. Like those types of scenery setups, I like that. I don't have to think too hard about, ooh, I wonder how they're going to get out of it. And then I still feel success when I totally saw the crowbar. Like it's obvious. It's very like clear that it's there, but I just love that right level of the balance of, oh my gosh, are they going to get out? And of course they're going to get out. Okay. But maybe not Brad Pitt, except he's fine.
But they leave it long enough.
And Alan makes some comment where he's like, oh, why? I wonder why he would have left that crowbar in the tomb with us.
Right.
You're like, duh, because he's helping you.
Like, come on. He's helping a brother out. I also love that Daniel Radcliffe's character gets picked up by the same boat and first.
Yes.
He's trying to like play the victim. And that one guy's like, we thought he was a small child. But he wasn't.
I think it's a good example of how comedy can be created well and with complexity and with layers, and yet no one will take this movie seriously as a quality movie.
Right. Mm. This isn't going to get an Oscar.
Yes.
No, it's not getting a Golden Globe.
Nope. And at least it's not getting a Razzie.
Oh,
like,
no.
That's no, good. No. But I think there's something important about having movies that are made for entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And to be enjoyed, not just for high art.
Mm, yes. And especially now, like I think we've all learned in the pandemic how important the arts are and how much we need them as an escape and as a solace. And this is the kind of thing that like is perfect for that. For me, this is what works, right?
Well, because we need art to tell those big stories and reflect on things and like help us examine the important issues. Those are important aspects of art too, mm-hmm. but I think we can't underestimate the escapism and joy. And I really feel like it reminds me, I think I've said this to both of you, of Eurovision in 2020,
mm-hmm.
Barb and Star in 2021, and this will be like the comedy of my heart for this year. and it's doing gangbusters, I think, and like one of at the theater, so that's good.
Yeah, it's
we want more.
It's exceeded expectations, and it's already earned $34.7 million just in opening weekend,
mm-hmm.
and it has a 75% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Whoa.
Which is huge, especially for this type of movie.
Yep.
But
yeah.
Like it is really like people are willing to go to the theater to see this movie and like enjoy it with families or with other people, like with friends going out in a way that they wouldn't necessarily go to for the Batman. and similar interesting things, it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Well, it would be nice if Hollywood remembered that. Like, I feel like the streaming sites are doing a good job of keeping romance alive, but this is a perfect example of when you find the right cast and you have the right story and the right mix of components where a story like this, a movie, can do really well. And there is an appetite and an audience for it, and it shouldn't be considered as, you know, not worth it, because it absolutely is.
And it's one of the movies that really benefits from social interaction, not just social media, but like, oh my gosh, did you see this movie? Let's go watch it. I want to watch it again, type of a thing. Very similar. Like, I'm feeling similar vibes to like My Big Fat Greek Wedding, where people are like, okay, we'll go watch this. It's great. And then they're like, oh my gosh, this was so much fun. And then they take their friends, other friends, to go in and watch it with them. This feels like those same vibes. And in a, you know, not post pandemic, because we're still in the pandemic, but like, as things are slowly lifting, and people are more willing to take chances and go out and do things, this feels like a great thing to go out and do. Especially if you can get a comfortable chair.
And a blanket. Don't forget your blanket.
Yeah, don't forget your blanket and snacks.
Snacks. I had way too big of a drink, and I drank it way too fast. And I just remember about halfway through, I was like, I'm not leaving this theater. I'm here for the duration, but holy crap.
It's like we're out of practice.
yeah, exactly. Like, I, you know, I can pause my movies at home whenever I want.
I also brought it as one of my picks for a sleepover movie, because it does feel like a movie that I would like to watch just with people. So, you know, you kind of laugh together and enjoy it together, which is like something in the theater. Like, it's great to see it on the big screen, but it is kind of nice to be in that environment again to watch and experience things. And, you know, I just felt like I'm like, I hope people like this, because I'm laughing my butt off.
Right.
Yeah. It was nice to have like energy from other people.
Yeah, I love that about the theater.
Yeah, because our theater was like about probably a third full. It still wasn't super full.
No, we went during the day on purpose, like on a random weekday.
But it was still full enough that you had some good energy.
Yeah.
I'll never forget. I saw the new Charlie's Angels with a friend of mine. This was several years back. And it was like almost out of theaters at that point. I don't think it did very well, but I really loved it. And it was my friend Anna and I and these three women right behind us. And we just loved it. We cackled the entire time, and like, one of the women behind us had the best laugh, and she would just get going, and we'd all just start going, and it was like, it made it such a memorable, wonderful experience. And like, at one point we actually turned around and we're like, we love you, all of you, and they're like, we love you.
Amazing.
It was like, I love that. It was so great, and I still remember that, and I love that movie. I watch it a lot still. It's like one of those things that I can just have on.
It is a good movie though,
right? It's so fun. It's like, yeah, it's a lovely reboot.
So fun.
Yeah, I did see someone, they were talking about how well it was doing, and someone said, well, it's not because it's a romance, it's because it has action in it, which means boys will like it, which is why it's doing well. And I'm like, I feel like there's more than that. Also, what's wrong with boys watching romance? Can we make that a thing that's okay?
Can anyone like what they want to like, please?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I still feel like the primary genre on this, I will call it a romance first.
It's a romance. It was billed as a romance.
Yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Like, it's a rom-com and, like, R, like, capital R sweeping romance epic, too, in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going just to say, do we have any final thoughts about this?
If you've listened to this episode and you haven't watched the movie, please go watch the movie.
Yes. And also maybe watch Romancing the Stone, because I feel like that's my homework and takeaway.
Yeah, I think I need to find a non-VHS copy and watch it.
Kirsten, we have a copy in our shared...
You did mention, on our family library.
Yeah, so you have ready access to it, and I will drive to your house and watch it with you if you want.
Drive to my house and watch it with you, too.
And then we will go back and watch the movie in the theater. It'll be very fun. And then you can be like, I see it.
I understand.
Just, you know, the sequel to Romancing the Stone called Jewel of the Nile is not good. We did do a commentary about it, not an episode. And we're like, no, this is not a good movie. So I'm feeling like it's okay if this movie doesn't have a sequel.
I haven't heard anything to the effect, and I
don't want a sequel.
You nailed it the first time.
Not everything has to be a franchise.
Nope.
Yes, exactly. So, have new ideas.
I think also I heard that Sandra Bullock has decided she's kind of stepping back a bit to sort of like be with her family, and respect that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't all parents, right? To juggle that. And then on top of it, to juggle a weird job like being a professional actor must be incredibly difficult. So
she had to leave her family for 3 or 4 months. And in the circumstances with COVID, it probably limits going back and forth.
Even more.
Serious respect for her. And I like that she made it clear that's why she was doing it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's a very legitimate reason, and she should be celebrated for that. So
abso-freaking-lutely. Mad props to Sandra Bullock.
Always.
We loved Sandy. Anyways.
She's kind of a queen.
She is. She's one of those people, I will see anything she's in. Mm-hmm. Like, I just see her name, her face, and I'm like, yep.
Yep. Reese Witherspoon is another one that I'm just anything.
It is time for us to wrap up and go watch the movie again. So thank you for coming, and I'm really excited that you ended up watching the movie, Kathy Campbell.
Me too. Thanks for letting me come play on the podcast.
Always. And Kirsten, it's always fun that we get to go to movies together again.
Yay! And then we get to talk about them. So it's like double the fun.
Yes. Woo. And you actually have to hear me go, Romancing the Stone 600 times in this movie.
It's just not the same without that. Like, it's a very important part of the experience.
Oh, yes. If you aren't a member yet, don't forget, you could still be a member and join us in the Slack and tell us everything you want about this movie, because we're so ready to have those conversations. And that would be at theincomparable.com/members. And we would be very excited to see some new people over there. But otherwise, until next time, thank you for joining us, and stay safe, agents. Agents of Smooch is part of the Incomparable Network. If you are enjoying our show, please leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you want to join the Smooch Agency, you can become a member of the Incomparable at theincomparable.com/members. Members can choose to support us and any other shows on the network, and you get extra perks like hanging out in the members-only Slack channel and bonus content such as our growing list of incomprehensible Agents of Smooch tipsy commentaries. Thank you for listening. Your next mission will be coming to you soon.